I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and just one verse we're going to use today, verse number 18, kind of as a springboard to go to some other verses as well. I thought I'd wait until next Sunday to get back into our study in 1 John and kind of come back a little bit to the theme of Thanksgiving today. And I know it's just been a couple of days since Thanksgiving, and our thoughts are still upon thanks and giving thanks to the Lord. And so I want to speak to you on the subject this morning of thanksgiving or complaining. Thanksgiving or complaining. Now, I know that you've already decided which category you belong in, and I'm sure all of you decided on the thanksgiving side. But these are words that express two contrasting attitudes that are found in God's children in regards to the dealings that God has with us and in life. And he says to us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Would you pray with me together? Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to take a few moments today to look into your word. I pray that you'll bless our time together. Most of our folks are watching on the live stream. We thank you for their faithfulness in doing so. And we pray that you'll bless and speak to our hearts. May we be attentive. May we not allow things to distract us and allow you to speak to our hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say before we get started, just a word of thanksgiving from my standpoint. To many of you who have brought food and supplies to Vicki and I while we were quarantined and while we were sick, and very grateful for the way you've expressed your love and the way you cared for us. And in fact, at one point we had to almost say stop because we had too much stuff in our refrigerator. We didn't have any more room for anything else. And I want to say a special thanks to Aaron and Shannon Harrington for bringing us Thanksgiving lunch from Cracker Barrel, and that was delicious. We enjoyed it. We couldn't eat it all. We could only eat about half of it. We saved the other half for the next day. But I just want you to know that in that meal, they had a piece of apple crumb pie, and it was delicious. There was one for each of us, and I ate about half of mine, and Vicki ate the other half, and the idea was to save the other piece for the next day, but before too long, Vicki ate the whole other piece. So I only got a half a piece out of that. But she said, "Boy, that tasted good." And then Thursday was probably the first day she was able to eat. And we enjoyed it. And we want to thank all of you for the many things that you did for our family. And I know you have for many others, for Brother Craig and Miss Kristen and for others. Many of you have just gone out of your way and over and beyond to help and care for each other. And that's the way it ought to be in our church, and loving and caring for each other. And I'm thankful for the good spirit and the love that we have within our church. Thanksgiving or complaining. The person that gives thanks can find comfort in everything, but the person that complains can find comfort in nothing. On the highway leading into the little town of Yankton, South Dakota, there's a sign that reads, "Yankton, South Dakota, the home of 30,000 friendly people and a few soreheads." Well, I think that sign could go up in a lot of towns. I think years ago, my mother-in-law and father-in-law had a little sign outside their house, and it said something like this: "In here lives one kind, sweet, elderly lady and one old grump," you know, or old grout, something like that. But a lot of homes, you could put a sign like that up, and you know which category you fit into, whether you're the complainer or the one who's giving thanks. The truth of it, of the matter, is that probably all of us at some times have been the sorehead or the complainer. We may know it by different terms, maybe griping or grumbling or whining or bellyaching. In our King James Bible, the common term that's used there is the word murmuring. Did you know that the Bible forbids us to murmur? God tells us that we are not to murmur. Regardless of the word that we use to describe it, complaining always has the same symptoms. The dictionary defines it as an expression of unhappiness, dissatisfaction, or discontent. Complaining is the outward expression of discontent within. Now the Lord says to us in our verse, in everything give thanks. That doesn't sound like we're supposed to be discontent, does it? We're to be content with what God has given to us. A certain man, well known for his constant complaining, inherited a large sum of money. He got it, and he complained about how it was not as much as he thought it should be. And so he bought a farm with the money, and he asked his wife what he should name the farm. She quickly answered, "Why don't you call it Belly Acres?" That sounds like a good name for somebody who's always complaining. But the honest truth is, most of us would say, "Well, I don't fit into that complainers," or "I'm not bellyaching all the time about things." I'm sure none of you this morning that I'm talking to, you had that problem of complaining. But we all know somebody that it could apply to, don't we? We can think of somebody who's always complaining. Complaining seems to have become the great American pastime. We live in a very complaining society. People seem to gripe about everything. Everything's not to their liking. And in my opinion, I think there are few sins that are as ugly to God as the sin of complaining. Because when we complain, we're saying we're not thankful for what God has provided for us. We're not thankful for what God has given to us. There seems to be very little thankfulness and gratitude today, even among God's people. And a whole lot of us are complaining. Complaining is part of our culture. But we know that it's not anything new, is it? It's been around for a long time. Let me ask you something. When you were a child, did you ever sit down to the table and say, "Mom, are we having that again?" And you can think of what that is right now, what you were complaining about. You see, our human nature hasn't changed much, has it? Let me explain. Centuries ago, the Jewish nation was being fed by God from heaven. Every morning for nearly 40 years, God sent little white wafers down from heaven called manna for the people of Israel. The Bible calls it angel's food in Psalm 78, verse 25. But there came a day when the people complained. They said, "We're tired of this manna, the same old thing, every day, day after day and day after day." And their experience points out an important truth, and that is the danger of getting used to the blessings of God. How sad that is that we, oftentimes in America, we have become used to the blessings of God. God was taking care of the children of Israel. He had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. He had taken them through the Red Sea. He had defeated their enemies for them over and over again. They never had to worry about where they were to travel because they had the presence of God that went before them in the form of the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God protected them from danger. He provided food and water and did that every day. Now you would think that the people would have been thrilled at the way God had taken care of them and what He was doing for them. But they weren't. They spent much of their time complaining. They complained about their godly leader, Moses. They complained about the way God led them. They complained about the way God fed them. There was a time when Moses was a great man in the eyes of the people of Israel, but not anymore. There was a time when the pillar of fire that led them was an awesome sight for them to see, but not anymore. There was a time when they could hardly wait for the morning to come to wake up and go out and see the miracle of the manna as it lay on the ground, but not anymore. Do you know what happened to these people, to the children of Israel? The same thing that can happen to you and to me. They had gotten used to the blessings of God. The wonder was gone. What was once a daily miracle of God's love had become a routine occurrence to them. "We're tired of this manna." Can you imagine becoming tired of food that came directly from heaven? Now, some of you have a mom or a wife who is a wonderful cook, and you oftentimes feel like the food came directly from heaven. But there have been some times when it hasn't been so heavenly. And if we aren't careful, we become used to the blessings that God has given to us. And what once was a daily miracle had become a routine occurrence to the children of Israel. Can you imagine how they must have been feeling. Can you imagine getting tired of sharing a daily miracle? Well, it happened to them, and I think it's happening to a lot of people today. We've gotten used to the blessings of God. Think of the blessings of our nation. Not everything's good about our country, especially right now, but not everything's bad either. We enjoy freedoms today, and yet we've gotten used to it. Maybe that's why God gave us some of the lockdowns and some of the things that we've had to deal with in this past year with the coronavirus. We've gotten used to the freedoms that God has given to us. Many other parts of the world do not enjoy that freedom like we do. Our material wealth is the greatest of any nation on earth, and yet we complain because we do not have more. While we Americans are fretting over diets and worried about how to lose weight, many people in this world are trying to find enough food for just one meal, just enough food to keep them alive for the day. I got a email recently many of you gave several months ago to help 325 families over in the Middle East whose husbands and fathers had been killed for the faith, and we were helping to provide food through the end of the year. And because of the generous gifts of people across the country, that need has been provided and food is provided for those families through the end of the year and even into part of next year. When you stop and think about these folks, and that just provided enough food for one meal, one good meal for a day for them. We have so much, we take the blessings of God for granted. Take this matter of our government. With all of its faults and failures, we still have a pretty decent government in our country. Now, I know we've got a lot of corruption, and it's on the Republican and the Democrat side as well. And we know that we're going through problems as to certifying the election, and there's been a lot of fraud, I believe, involved in all of that, and I hope all of the truth comes out about all of it. But the sad thing is we still have the privilege of going and voting, and yet many Christians don't even take the opportunity to go and register to vote. We take the blessings for granted. I'm sure that every one of us would cry out and would beg God for this freedom again were we to lose it. It's too bad that sometimes we have to lose something before we appreciate it. We have lost the ability to have an election that we can put our faith and trust in and to have what we would call an honest election, I'm afraid, unless we make some changes in America to guarantee that it's honest and trustworthy. But we've gotten used to that. We've gotten used to having an election that we could trust. Cherish these God-given privileges and use them wisely and thank God for them. Whenever we start to take something or someone for granted, you know what we usually do? We start complaining, don't we? We start complaining about it. And yet the Bible warns us in Philippians 2 and verse 14, it says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing." That's a command from God, not a suggestion. He says, do all things without murmuring, without complaining, without grumbling. Think about all the complaining that goes on in our home. We take for granted the blessings of the home, the clean clothes, the nourishing meals that we have, the money to pay the bills, the opportunity to have time together, as many of you were able to over the Thanksgiving season. And then something happens and we lose some of those blessings. Perhaps mom goes to the hospital and we discover what's involved in keeping the house running smoothly. Perhaps the head of the house loses a job or gets a pay cut and all of a sudden we struggle making the ends meet and we find how quickly that money does not grow on trees like most of our young people think and our children think. But let's take the matter of our own personal Christian life. Just think about prayer. What prayer really is. Prayer is a fellowship with God. We have the opportunity of meeting in the presence of God and sharing our needs with the God of this universe. It is the breath of our relationship. It is a privilege that ought to excite us. It ought to stir us up so much that praying would become the most enjoyable experience that we would have of the day. But with many of us, prayer has just become a dull routine. We've become used to the blessing of prayer. Think about what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. Think about the reason He went through all of that, because He desired to bring us into fellowship with Him and to have a personal relationship with Him. And we can do that through prayer, and yet we take that for granted. What Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary ought to excite us. It ought to thrill us. It ought to stir us up to want to live for Him every single day. We've gotten used to the blessings of God in our life, and the results in our life are tragic. What happens when we get used to the blessings of God? What happens when we get used to the things that God has poured out upon us? I've already mentioned we usually become critical and we begin to complain. And something else happens. We lose the sense of wonder that makes life enjoyable. Life becomes very mechanical. It becomes very matter of fact. Instead of having a childlike spirit of humility and wonder, we become hard and we become like a machine, mechanical in our life. We sit down to the table to eat, and do we ever feel a sense of wonder that God has taken care of us? That He's provided for us? We've been teaching one of our grandsons to pray when he comes to our house, to pray before the meals and to explain why we pray. God has blessed us and God has provided, and we give thanks to the Lord. Just think of all that lies behind that one little piece of bread that you eat. That piece of toast maybe you had for breakfast this morning. Think about the thousands of gallons of rain that God had to provide on the field. And the thousands of hours of sunshine that God had to send for that grain to grow. Think of the harvesting and the milling and the baking and the shipping and the distribution of the loaves. All of that put together just so we could have one piece of bread for breakfast this morning. Please don't get used to your blessings. Keep that sense of wonder that God is supplying your needs and God is supplying my needs day by day. Live each day as though it might be the last opportunity for us to enjoy our family or to enjoy our friends, or maybe the last opportunity to have a service together or the last opportunity to read our Bible. There are countries in our world who do not have the privilege of holding in their hands a copy of the Word of God. And we have invested hundreds and thousands of dollars in getting Bibles into countries that are being smuggled into countries where people who are found with Bibles, the Bibles are confiscated, and sometimes they're imprisoned, and sometimes the smugglers are put to death. Oh, how we've taken for granted just the privilege of having a copy of the Word of God in our own language and being able to read it every day. When you find yourself taking things for granted, don't wait for God to take them away. Don't wait for God to deal with you. Immediately ask the Lord to give you a new appreciation for the old blessings that we have had. Go a little deeper into life. Open your heart wider to the love of God. Keep that sense of wonder in your life and wonder of what God is doing for you. Do not get used to the things that God has blessed you with, but rather every day thank God for the blessings. Thanksgiving is an attitude of choice. It is a choice we make. We choose to give thanks to the Lord. We can either be thankful and express gratitude, or we can choose to be a complainer and grumble about what we don't have or what we ought to have. The choice is up to us. In Psalm 34 and verse 1, David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." David made a deliberate choice to praise the Lord. David makes a deliberate choice to give thanks to God, and we too can make a deliberate choice in our own hearts and lives to move from Grumbling Alley to Thanksgiving Boulevard. And may God help us to live in the Thanksgiving Boulevard. There's always something that we can be thankful for if we look for it. I read a story about two school teachers that hadn't seen each other for several years, and they met at a convention. And they began filling each other in on what had happened in their lives since the last time they had been together. One teacher said, "I got married 2 years ago." "Oh, that's good," her friend replied. "Well, no, not really," the first one said. "My husband is twice as old as I am." Oh, that's bad, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said, because he's a millionaire several times over. Oh, that's good, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said, because he turned out to be mean and he won't give me any money at all. Oh, that's bad, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said. He did build us a $500,000 house. Oh, that's good, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said. Our house burned down last month. Oh, that's bad, her friend replied. Well, no, not really, she said. He was in it when it burned down. There's always something you can find to be thankful for. You can find something to give thanks to the Lord if we just look for it. We ought to live in a constant attitude of thanksgiving. Amen? So this morning, I want to share just a couple of things about what it means to live a life of thanksgiving. I want to talk about how we can take this past Thursday, an annual holiday that we have, and make it a constant, everyday attitude of thanksgiving. How can we live a life of grateful praise? Our verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We're to honor God in all that we do. We're to honor God in all that we think. We're to honor God in all that we say. So first of all, we are to act thankfully. If we're going to live in an attitude of thanksgiving, first of all, we're to act thankful. I believe that we need to demonstrate a life of thanksgiving in everything that we do. And by saying act, I'm not talking about acting out or being something that you're not. I'm talking about acting, doing something. That begins in a heart of service. If we're going to act thankful, we want to serve the Lord. First of all, notice that serving is a demonstration of appreciation, respect, and love. It can be done in a selfish, ungrateful way. But when it's done in the right way, it becomes a blessing to the server and to the servee. If we do our actions and our service in the right way, we are a blessing to ourselves and to others. In 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he hath counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." Let me ask you a question. Are you thankful for whatever area of service that God has placed you in? Are you thankful for the things that God allows you to do? Some of us have the opportunity of singing as the choir did. Some singing specials, some playing the instruments, some working in the nursery, some teaching in children's church or in our master clubs, some helping the bus ministry. There's a lot of different services. Some work on Bibles, putting them together on Thursday mornings. There are many things that we do. Are you thankful? Are you grateful for the place where God has put you? We can show thanks to the Lord. We can act in a thankful way. Are you thankful for that area of service God's called you to? And then secondly, acting thankful also involves sacrifice. If I'm going to act thankful, it involves sacrifice. It requires me to give something of myself. One of the ways that this is demonstrated is in our financial giving. And I'm thankful for the faithfulness of our people to give. But as we give to the Lord, we are giving back to God. It's a way of us saying, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given to me." Even if I don't have a lot, or I don't have a lot to give, when I give back to God, I show the understanding that God owns everything that I have. He owns it all. The Bible says He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I heard one fellow say he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he owns the gold in them their hills too. He owns it all. It all belongs to the Lord. And everything I have belongs to the Lord. So when I give, when I bring my tithes, when I bring my offerings, when I put it in the offering plate, give it back to God, I am giving not out of guilt or not out of being compelled to do something. I'm giving out of thanksgiving. God has given something to me. Thank God I have something to give back to Him. Take a second to say this morning, "Thank you, Lord, for everything you've given to me." And then also we can act thankfully by sharing what we have. Not only by giving to the Lord in our offerings and our tithes and so forth, but by sharing what we have. That might take the form of sharing some of our abundance with those that don't have as much as we do. It may be sharing with a homeless person. It may be sharing with somebody who has a special need. People who really understand thankfulness and appreciation usually are very good with giving to other people. They know how great it feels to give. And that doesn't just apply to sharing our stuff, our material things. It also applies to sharing our faith. We know what it feels like to tell others about Jesus Christ. If we understand the real meaning of who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for us, how He saved us, how He's forgiven us, how He's cleansed us, how He's made us a child of God, we're going to look for every opportunity to share that faith with other people. If our faith is truly transforming and valuable and important to us, then it's important enough for us to share it with someone else. Don't you want someone else to enjoy heaven too? Don't you want someone else to enjoy the Christian life? You know, our lives can be a little bit of heaven on earth, or they can be a little bit of hell on earth. One of the ways they can be heaven on earth is by learning to act thankfully and sharing with others. There's a second way, and that is we're to think thankfully. We're to act thankfully, but we're also to think thankfully. I believe that gratitude starts with the thought life. It starts with how we think. It begins with taking captive every thought. You know, we use that verse sometimes when we think about taking captive every thought, and we think about it in relation to impure thoughts or immoral thoughts. But that has to do with every thought. The ungrateful thoughts, the complaining thoughts. We take every thought into captivity. It grows out of an attitude of appreciation and humility and proper perspective for life and proper perspective of the blessings that God has given to us. One of the best biblical descriptions of how thankfulness needs to be infused into our character is found in Colossians chapter 3. If you'll turn over there with me, if you're at 1 Thessalonians, you can back up just a little bit. Colossians. Just the very next book of the Bible. Look at before 1 Thessalonians. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Look at verse 12. It says, "Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." It's clear from this passage that thankfulness is supposed to be a regular part of our life. I believe that gratefulness is emphasized here because it is the perfect antidote to pride and selfishness and a host of other sins as well. After all, what is the opposite of thankfulness? Things like complaining, arguing, selfishness, a sense of entitlement. Our sin nature wants to try to convince us that we deserve more. That's why we're not thankful. We think we deserve more. We think that we are right, that we have been taken advantage of, or that we really have it bad. I'll admit that I have a low tolerance for people that have that kind of mentality. I've run across a few people in my life who always seem to feel like they're victims. They always seem to feel like they should get more. They always complain about what they have or complain about what they have been given. That's not what it's supposed to be like for the child of God. Thinking thankfully. That's what God wants us to have. And if we're going to think thankfully, it involves three things. First of all, it involves prayer. It involves prayer. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." That word careful, it means don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. Be full of care. Over full of care. Be careful. Worry about nothing. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In other words, God says we worry about nothing. Then he says by prayer and supplication, we pray about everything. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, be thankful for anything. If we'll do those three things in our life, it'll help us to be a thankful person and have a thankful spirit and a thankful attitude. The way in which we keep from being anxious and worry is through prayer. When we present our request to God and give control over to Him, what happens to us? The load gets lighter, doesn't it? We pray, we turn it over to the Lord, and when we pray with thanksgiving, we're thanking God for the ability to pray. We're thanking Him for answering our prayers. We're thanking Him for freeing us from worry. When we pray with thanksgiving to God, it has a way of adjusting our thinking so that our thinking starts to fall into line with what God wants for our life. And so if I'm going to think thankfully, it involves prayer. Secondly, it involves worship. It involves worship. Worship also has a way of putting us in the mindset of thankfulness. And that back there in Colossians 3 and verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in grace to your heart to the Lord. You know what? It's hard to complain. It's hard to be bitter. It's hard to be selfish and grumpy when we're singing joyfully to the Lord. Amen? It's hard for us to do that. Singing lifts our spirit. Singing focuses our attention on the Lord. It puts us in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. If that's not happening to you when you worship, then you might be doing it wrong. And then finally, thinking not only involves prayer and worship, but it also involves dwelling on the good. It involves dwelling on the good. Our minds can sometimes be uncooperative. I've said oftentimes that sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is change our mind. Change what we're thinking about. Change what we're dwelling on. Our minds keep wandering back to that nagging money problem or to the past failures or to the unproductive things in our life. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you can just, even in church, you can just be sitting there chilling, relaxing, And a weird, random thought will come to your mind. And you think, where did that come from? Sometimes the strangest stuff just shows up there. Maybe we're lost in a daydream, off somewhere else, or something comes to our mind, and we kind of snap out of it, and again we think, where did that come from? And I think it's because our natural inclination is towards evil. And we have to train our minds to think about good things. We purposely dwell on the good that God has done for us. You know these verses in Philippians 4 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a great thought filter, isn't it? Paul said, think on these things. Ask yourself, are my thoughts true? Are my thoughts honest? Are my thoughts just? Are my thoughts pure? Are my thoughts lovely? Are my thoughts filled with praise to the Lord? Am I acting thankfully? Am I acting prayerfully and thinking thankfully? Get our thoughts dwelling on things that are good. And then there's a third thing that I want to mention, and that is not only do we act thoughtfully and think thoughtfully, but thirdly, we are to talk thankfully. Talk thankfully. It's important for us to not only think it, but to express it. Amen? To express our thanksgiving to the Lord. The Psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, to let folks know we're thankful. Talking thankfully involves praising others. It involves praising God. It involves sharing our gratitude with other people. When was the last time you told your spouse, I'm so thankful that you married me? Instead of saying, I'm so thankful that you got to marry me, no. I'm thankful that you married me, thankful for her. Do you tell your kids that you appreciate them? You're thankful God gave them to you. Do you thank your wife for cooking dinner and for doing the laundry? Do you let God know how thankful you are for what He's done in your life? If we're saved, and as believers and Christians, we've been saved by the grace of God. We've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a home in heaven. We have a lot to be thankful for. No matter how bad it gets, we still can't complain. In Psalm 105, verse 1, the psalmist said, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You can almost hear the passion. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Our hearts ought to overflow with a passion, overflow with gratitude as we give thanks to the Lord from our heart. He's not just asking for a dull ritual of prayer. God wants us to fervently, sincerely, genuinely thank Him from the bottom of our heart. Not just a ritual that we're going through. In other words, don't let your thanks just become a duty. Don't let it be just a requirement. Let it be spontaneous. Let it be something that comes automatically, that it reveals that you're seriously thinking about all that God has done for us. We're to speak it. We're to talk it. We're to tell it. Think about how much God has given you. God's given us a lot, hasn't He? We must talk thankfully about all that He's given to us. How often do we take a break from our hectic schedule and just thank God for everything that He does for us? On Thanksgiving Day, I thought, I'm going to try to take the day and just thank the Lord for things and not ask Him for anything. And I caught myself several times during the day. Even when we say, Lord, bless this food to our bodies, I'm asking Him for something, aren't I? Instead of saying, Lord, thank You for this food. Thank You that You're going to bless it to our bodies. I had to reword the way I said some of the things that day because it's so easy for us to ask and not to give thanks. So often it's easier to focus on what we don't have or on our problems or on what we wish was different in our life. But what if we took time? What if we took, say, 15 minutes just to think about all the beautiful, wonderful people and all the things that God has provided for us? He gave us our spouse who has seen us at our worst and still loves us. He gave us those kids who think that we're the greatest dad or the greatest mom in the world. He gives us that nice warm house that we enter into on those cold, chilly days and nights. He gave us that job that supplies the funds to pay the bills. He gave us an appetite so that we can enjoy eating the big meal on Thanksgiving Day. He gave us a heart so that we can love and be loved. He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can experience the abundant love and the abundant life that He has for us, eternal life. You and I could both count our many blessings all day long. We could think of all the things that He's done for us. But you get the point. God has been so good to us. Sure, we have problems. We can't run away from them. But for just a little while, we can quit complaining and set aside all of the problems and just focus on the blessings that God's given to us. Take time to think of what He has shown us in our life and what He has showered upon us. David said He daily loadeth us with benefits. The really sad thing is that so many people never stop to think about the blessings until they're gone. When you reach for the hand and it isn't there. When you long for that child and they're gone. When you can't make ends meet and your health starts to fail. So oftentimes that's the first time that we stop to realize that we have been so greatly blessed. How much better it would be to thank God for those blessings now while we still have them and to tell the Lord how much we appreciate the blessings that He has put in our life. So we're to talk thankfully. Talk to the Lord. Talk to other people thankfully. And then secondly, it's also important that we verbally tell others what we're grateful for. We tell the Lord, we tell others. I know that it's kind of an expected tradition for some families to go around the table at Thanksgiving and each one share what they think is the greatest blessing that they're thankful for that year. And that's a good thing for us to do. It's something that we need to learn how important it is to be so thankful. What's the greatest blessing God's given to you this past year? Just think about it for a moment. What would you write down, or what would you tell, or what would you show? What's the greatest blessing? And maybe after this service is over, as you're there in your home, maybe alone, maybe with the family, maybe just take a little bit of time to go around and let each one share what's the greatest blessing that they're thankful for. I know all of us would say our salvation, and we would say our church and our Bible, but setting those things aside that we should be grateful for every day, just think about what's the greatest blessing God's given to you this year. And when you focus on those things and what God has done for us, you know what happens? The annoying junk and the problems of our life have a way of losing their importance. Remember that song we sing? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and what does it say? The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. And so during this Thanksgiving season, let's begin to demonstrate our appreciation by acting thankful. Let's train our minds to think thankfully. And let's take the opportunity to talk thankfully. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, if you and I are not giving thanks every day to God, we are out of the will of God for our life. Thanksgiving or complaining? Which has it been, or which is it in your life? Act thankfully. Think thankfully. Talk thankfully. Start out by thanking the Lord for your salvation. If you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, thank Him for the cross and thank Him for what He did for you when He shed His blood, when He took our pain and our agony. The songwriter said, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and bled and died, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. And if you're listening today and you're not saved, thank God that He died on the cross for you. And He wants to save you. Invite Him into your heart and life to be your Lord and Savior right now. And if you find yourself in that place of complaining, ask God to forgive you for not being more thankful. And take some time today and each day to thank the Lord for all that He is and for all that He has done for you. Thankful or complaining? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. You've told us in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Would you help me? Would you help each one of us today to purpose in our hearts, Lord, I am not going to murmur. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to be more thankful. May we take time each day to lift our voice in praise and thanksgiving for all that You have done for us. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.